Hey, that's unfair. I had zombies too.
Yes, you did. Yes, you had zombies, but this is zombie takeout. See, they're entirely separate species, like the difference between the elephant and the elephant seal. There's always next year. What's up? Welcome to episode 240 of Zombie Takeout,
Zombie Takeout,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And yes, we're back.
Glad to be back.
Quick explanation. I had a bit of a stomach bug that, in addition to all of the usual stuff that comes with a stomach bug, also caused me to have the hiccups for 5 or 6 days on end, which is way worse than it sounds.
I think you should just be more careful with your platypus.
And so, I mean, even though I haven't hiccuped more than a few times since the Monday before last, we're recording this on a Wednesday night, and every one of them scared the fuck out of me. My voice was shot last week. I mean, I sound a little rough now, but I was practically lurch last week, so I couldn't.
As I like to call it, the curse of Tuesday.
Yes. Anyway, before we get to this week's movie, on to some news. Two stories, one very short. First story from AV Club. Matthew Vaughn tapped for Flash Gordon reboot. Matthew Vaughn is currently in talks with Fox to helm a remake of the King Comics space opera, originally published as a comic strip in 1934. The script for the newest iteration, written by J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, will not stray far from the roots of the original comic strip. So this is the one that Sam Jones, who from the 1980 version, is going to have a part in. I really wasn't interested until now.
You know, thinking about it, you're calling it a reboot and everything,
Well, the
and
article was.
why the fuck not? I mean, it's better than a re another reboot of Batman and Superman
You're Spider-Man.
or Spider-Man. It used to be reruns were only on television. Now we're getting them in the movies.
I just saw an article tonight that they're doing a live-action version of Robotech. I've complained about live-action anime enough, but this is interesting because Flash Gordon is one of those properties that gets, remade every so often because it's one of those perennial stories, like The Hobbit.
Are they well, wait a minute. The Hobbit, that
Well,
was.
that gets or Lord of the Rings, they get remade regularly, is my point. Flash
I
Gordon is
mean,
another one that gets remade regularly.
before that first Peter Jackson trilogy, there was nothing but a
Well,
cartoon.
that's true. Yeah, they did. They
Like,
there wasn't a live action version before that. You're right.
it was like 30 years for them to get that even from the cartoon to that. Because, I
And
mean,
probably 30 years to get the cartoon made because that was the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was earlier than that, but you might be right. You may be right. It may have only been the 80s. But it was just, I mean, it was too fantastic to make live action until a certain George Lucas came along.
But my point is that Flash Gordon has been made a few times before. We've got the infamous 1980 version. There's the SYFY version from, I think it was like mid-2000s.
I forgot there was a SYFY version.
It was a guilty pleasure for me, but it wasn't very good. And my understanding of this was it was supposed to be kind of a remake of the 80 version, but this gives me the idea that it's not going to be that. It's going to be just a straight-up new adaptation based on the comic, which I've never seen, so that could be interesting.
Who covers the Queen song, though?
Really?
Because I think you got to keep the Queen song in somehow.
I'm thinking
I think
you'd
so.
find something just as iconic. I don't know who it would be, but.
How do you get more iconic than Queen?
Well, but Queen weren't really iconic before Flash Gordon and Highlander.
Yeah, you're right.
That's kind of what made them iconic. So you want to pick somebody current and give them that same opportunity, I would think. It's fairly popular, but current. And then, I'm middle-aged. I don't know current music for the most part, at least not the mainstream stuff. Anyway, on to the second story from CinemaBlend, and actually very relevant to this week's movie. Joss Whedon sued for stealing Cabin in the Woods.
Really?
Peter Gallagher, not to be confused with the actor, is the author of a book called The Little White Trip, A Night in the Pines. According to the rap, the suit he filed with the U.S. District Court claims the cabin in the woods is virtually identical in a number of ways.
No shit, man.
Gallagher wrote the book in 2005, published it in 2006, registered the title in 2007. Neither Lionsgate nor reps for Joss Whedon have responded to the suit, which also names Drew Goddard, director of Cabin in the Woods.
What's this, Howard Stern? I invented the movie with the cabin in the woods, Robin.
Yeah, he claims even like down to characters and plot and everything. It's
characters are archetypes.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the story, but which we'll get to. But yeah,
that's ridiculous.
And it's
Raimi could sue. I did this. There were, I did a movie with a cabin in the woods.
If we're looking at characters, yeah, just about every slasher film could sue, which is kind of the point of Cabin in the Woods.
It's ridiculous to sue.
I suspect it's also the turning the whole thing on its head and the whole, you know, the original part of Cabin in the Woods that Gallagher also apparently came up with. I suspect it was, you know, they both came up with the same idea separately. I would be very surprised if Whedon, who is known for being very original, stole anything.
Yeah.
Then again, Goddard, who also co-wrote it, wrote Cloverfield, which wasn't exactly original. But that was a deliberate attempt to remake Godzilla without the name.
Any like giant monster destroys, you know, town. It's
no. They were deliberately trying to do a Godzilla, but not in name only. Because they couldn't get the rights to the name, but they wanted to do a Godzilla film.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see where that goes. And speaking of which, on to this week's movie, which is from 2012, Cabin in the Woods. And of course, that leads us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Monsters. They're the most interesting people.
And also brought to you by Ritual Sacrifice. It takes all kinds.
Actually, so, it takes five very specific kinds.
I think so, at least. Well, that's... I guess in the U.S. version.
Yeah.
I don't think they had those in the...
Right. International. It was
internationally.
It was their folk tales, yeah.
All right. So we begin unexpectedly in some sort of laboratory setting or in military industrial complex sort of thing. And it's just these two office workers... You know, or technicians or lab guys talking a bit about their personal life. And then they get to... It may as well
have been a scene from The Office.
Right. And then they just, you know, after the credits, they break to, like the college, students who are about to go away on the trip in the woods, man. And, they bounce back and forth between the two. And then you realize that, very quickly, that there is a connection between the two. That
not all that quickly, actually.
Well, they as soon as they leave, they start saying, you know, the nest is empty, and you know, so you know, okay, wait a minute, they aren't just jerking us around with these lab guys. That there's actually something going on here. The college students. They make it apparent that there's something, some sort of setup here with these college students and what they're going to do, but it's not entirely clear immediately what it is they have in mind for them. The lab guys, though, that's really where the plot goes on, and you don't realize that is the plot of the movie until you're pretty deep into it.
Yeah.
They're talking about things, you think they're just talking nonsense, but when the plot comes together... And you go back and listen to what they're talking about, like what I did, because I watched this movie weeks ago. We were ready to go for the first time.
And you rewatched it recently?
I rewatched most of it.
Okay.
Like there were key parts that I knew I had to go back and watch and pick out stuff anyway.
I saw it back in 2012 and just watched it again today, and it's definitely interesting the second time around.
Yes. When you know where it's going, it's even more interesting. Because things just make more sense. They're talking about what's going on in other offices. You think it's just small talk, what the Japanese and the Swedes are doing and them tanking and whatnot. And it's not until later in the movie that you realize that that has some significance, that Well, the Japanese still have yet to go at this point at the beginning of the movie.
And it leads to a great scene with the Japanese.
Yes, it does. So, really, I don't know how much I should I give away.
I think, okay, we're just gonna say now full on spoilers this time.
Full on spoilers.
We
You know what?
can't talk around the ending of this movie.
You're right, because, and even if we do spoil the actual plot, there's so much more to this movie than the plot anyway.
Yeah.
And
The last half hour of the movie we will spoil, but it's still worth the ride, even if
of
you know exactly
course.
what's gonna come.
And if you have not seen this and you're willing to listen to our spoilers, you'll want to see this, I think, when we're done
Yeah,
describing this
definitely.
to you. So yeah, the deal is that the lab people are engineering a ritual sacrifice of the five archetypical young generate you know members of the generation,
That
next
you see in
generation.
every horror film,
Yeah.
specifically, and I'm quoting the movie here, the virgin, the whore, the fool, the athlete, and the scholar.
And the deal is, in other countries, of course, they get a shot to appease this demon or god to
The
keep
old
them
ones.
below.
Very
Yes, the
Lovecraft with the naming there.
right. To keep them beneath the earth, to keep the rest of mankind safe from their terror. So other countries get a shot at it, and as they're coming into this, several other countries have failed. There's a few that are still yet to go. And if no one gets it, something bad is going to happen. That's at least what they're, as you're going in, that there's a bit of nervousness that they're not going to do it.
Well, old ones waking up is generally a bad thing.
Well, the technicians themselves, played by,
Great Richard Jenkins
I always forget his name.
and the guy from The West Wing whose name I can never remember either.
Yes, Bradley Whitford. I
That's
always
it.
forget his name, but he is like one of my favorite actors present day. I mean, the good guys. I mean,
And Richard Jenkins is one of my favorites.
so they're all casual, but the other people are getting very nervous because it's all on us, the US, to keep this from going down. And interesting
I just keep
that
thinking of that Japanese scene.
Lab technician that were from the chemistry department, that young woman that's, the nervous one from the
Amy Acker,
beginning,
best known for a couple of Joss Whedon projects.
she was the little girl lead in Tideland.
Oh, really?
Yes, she's only 11 when Tideland had, but now here it is, like 10 years later, in her early 20s,
Wait, okay,
in
not
this.
Amy Acker then. Which girl from the chemistry department? I'm trying to remember. Not the one with the glasses who's walking around, who you see a lot in the
Jodelle
movie.
Ferland?
Oh, okay, I'm not sure who you're talking about then.
I thought that was the one from the chemistry
Okay.
department.
Anyway, I was thinking of somebody else. Continue.
You know what? I have it wrong. She was one of the Buckners.
Oh, okay. Okay, the little girl, and yeah, gotcha.
But
That
anyway.
sounds about right age-wise, because Amy Acker's like in her mid-30s.
So anyway, they send the students into this cabin in the woods to sacrifice them. They get to choose their own destroyer. It's very Ghostbusters. choose your destroyer. They lure them down into the basement.
And you even have one of them, Kurt the athlete, playing with this puzzle ball. And all I could think was, have you never seen Hellraiser?
Right, and that's exactly where it's from, of course, it turns out.
Except it's a cube in Hellraiser, of course.
Yeah, but I think it's there's Barker was working with some literature that it wasn't exactly an original idea from what I
Oh, no, yeah,
understand.
right.
So there were different ones where they had different puzzles and different things in their head. Some had pins, some had blades. And yeah, it was just a pretty much a cellar full of loaded weapons
A
that
conch
they got
shell
to.
that summons a merman.
The merman thing, the merman bit is probably one of the funniest damn things. I won't spoil the ending for that, but that was one of the funniest damn things I've seen in a movie in a long time, tell you the truth. I wanted to name the episode. Aw, come on.
Okay, now I get the reference. I was wondering where that came from.
I've seen it a couple times. I had to watch that again, of course. And it's still cracking me up. Anyway, the sacrifice goes well in the beginning, and then it kind of goes to shit. And then it gets even worse.
Well, it actually goes right according to plan until one of them turns out not to be dead.
Well, right. But then it gets worse
Yeah.
because they make it into the lab, and all hell does break loose.
All of
You
the
could even
monsters
say
get released and
we could say hilarity ensues, but you know what? I would describe that scene that or it was more than just one scene, of course. I'm torn between a insane Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Like one of the episode's titles I thought of was Troma's Blazing
Yeah.
Saddles, where they're doing the French mistake, and it's just all of these different Hollywood things. Only it is different horror,
Right.
the creatures.
Every monster imaginable. Just to jump into some very early trivia, about 1,000 people were hired to play 60 different kinds of monsters.
I read on IMDb that there's a flying purple people eater
Yes.
somewhere in there. I could not. I think I spotted
It's
something
a
like
very
that.
brief thing.
Well, they're all brief
Yeah.
things.
Oh,
Like,
you get a good look at, Pinhead or Sawhead, as he
oh
is in
yeah,
this one.
definitely.
And a couple of others, a ghost.
I spotted the twins from The Shining.
Yeah. Thankfully, the giant spider is very brief. I was able to avoid that this time.
Yes.
Anyway, hilarity ensues.
Yes. I think I also spotted the worm from either Tremors or Dune.
Yeah. I've never really gone through and cataloged them because, giant spider in there that I don't want to see. But I can't think of a monster that I didn't notice.
Well, there's a few different chances you have. You've got the scene with the cubes, which is where I saw the twins from The Shining.
Right.
And then you get the rampage,
Yeah.
which is just fucking crazy.
Now, rolling back to the beginning,
Okay.
the second time you see the movie, the opening credits actually make sense. They don't make sense if you don't know what you're in for,
Right.
because it shows all of these different, ritual sacrifices.
Yes. You're not really sure what any of that means. You think they're just showing her scenes of horror.
Yeah. You'd think it's just generic horror.
But when you come to see it the second time around, you're like, hey, they're all sacrifices.
And I absolutely love the head fake at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because they put it in there to deliberately make people think they walked into the wrong movie. And of course, again, Richard Jenkins, one of my favorites, so great to see him in there. And the jump scare that they use for the title screen is awesome, too.
Yeah.
Because they set you up with this office, scientific, military, industrial thing, and it's your typical office scene. And then they just literally hit you in the face with the title screen.
Yeah.
They actually use it as a jump scare. And this is such a perfect take on the, Kids in the Woods movie that the beginning actually reminded me a lot of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I could see where you get that.
Granted,
Definitely.
I watch Thanksgiving every year. You probably haven't seen it since we reviewed it.
No, I have not.
So, it's going to jump to my mind faster, but like to the point where I heard the music. Because it's that cliche scene of, the kids on spring break all getting together in the truck to go to the cabin. It's a perfect reproduction of that. Now, there is a bit of a problem with the movie.
What's that?
It takes forever to set up.
You know, I did not notice until I looked at the IMDb. The first kill does not happen until 44 minutes in.
Actually, okay, 24 minutes we get confirmation that the kids are being watched.
Yeah.
41 minutes we see the first monster. That's when the first Buckner comes out of the ground.
Normally, I would be the first to complain about that.
Yes, I'm kind of surprised that you aren't.
But I think they pack the first 44 in with enough Bizarre shit.
Actually, the Buckners don't attack until 55 minutes in. Halfway
You're
through the
right.
movie, we finally get a death.
Oh, I think there's two things. They put enough in the front half to keep us interested. I mean, enough jokes.
It is a brilliant deconstruction of the genre. Because Scream is always talked about how it nods to the genre and calls things out. This does it 10 times better.
I mean, there are a lot of funny things in the first half,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
The Harbinger, I mean, the bong. There, I mean, there's a
Harbinger on
number.
line two. I just love that line.
And then the gag with putting him on
Yeah. Yeah.
speakerphone. Yeah, I mean, so there's that going on, and then they more than make up for it at the end. There's plenty of movies
Oh,
that they take forever to set up, and then they go nowhere or
yeah.
give us very little towards the end. You're kind of like, oh, I waited a long time for that. This, you can't complain. There's enough, not enough gore in this movie.
Because that first hour, even though there are no deaths, it's still very entertaining.
Yeah.
And when it does pay off in that last 45 minutes, half hour, it really pays off.
Right. I mean, for a mainstream movie to have that much violence in it, it's and gore, that you don't see that very often.
No. And okay, just trying to remember what exactly was in the basement. They go into the basement and there are all these different things that can trigger different monsters.
Right, I had to go back. That was one of the scenes I definitely had to go back today and take a look at.
Because the whole thing is they have to, pick their own method of demise. And there's a conch shell that triggers the merman.
The mermaid, we figured that out.
A puzzle ball that triggers Sawhead. A book with some Latin that triggers the, not just zombies, they are the zombie redneck torture family.
I think the musical box summons the crazy
The
worm
ballerina, right.
face ballerina,
Right.
which at first I was like, what does the music box do? And what would summon Kevin?
It's been too long since I've seen Sin City. I'm surprised you caught that, because have you seen Sin City?
No.
Kevin is Elijah Wood's character in Sin City, which is what that was a reference to.
Oh, I thought somebody was saying that it was like a Best Buy employee.
No, it's a reference to Elijah Wood's character in Sin City, who's a serial killer.
Okay.
I'm wondering about the film strips that Marty sees.
They said something about a Best Buy employee that dismembers people. I'm thinking that's what that is.
Maybe. Because he walks in, he turns around, and everybody's looking at all these different things that were set there to attract them. He turns around and sees this row of film strips. And I just wonder what monster would be attracted by film strips.
There's a necklace, there's a wedding
Yeah,
dress.
yeah.
I, like, what the fuck do these, I mean,
Well, I
what
mean,
do these
there are
things summon?
60 different kinds of monsters, so
I imagine, like, the fortune teller machine would do the clown.
Yeah,
I could be
yes.
wrong.
Makes sense.
Who knows? There's so much. You could watch that scene 100 times and pick out something new, because it's another one of those things where there are just so many things packed into it.
And they really do bait you if you know anything about horror with the puzzle ball.
Of course.
Because even knowing what comes, I'm still thinking, put it down. Hellraiser. But they pick the book with the Latin in it, and this raises the redneck zombie torture family.
Zombies who use tools.
Yes. Well, he said they're a different species. They're not regular zombies.
Right.
Although, what kind of zombie throws away a perfectly edible head?
Looks like someone threw away a perfectly good white boy.
They attack, and the athlete makes it back to the house after the Jules, the whore, gets killed. And he's saying we got to get out of here, and there's a knock at the door, and they open it, and the zombie just tosses them her head. Just to give them confirmation, yes, she was killed.
Well, oh yeah, the head would have the best part, the
Yeah.
brains.
I mean, they could be flesh-eating zombies, but there's still flesh on the head. You'd think they would eat it instead of just throwing it at them.
The brains are supposed to be the best part,
Well,
right?
it depends on the zombie.
No, really? You're saying different zombies have different
Well,
tastes.
yeah, there are flesh-eating zombies and brain-eating zombies.
I
They're two
just
different
assumed the
types.
brain was the best flesh.
There are two different types of zombies. I did get a kick though out of it when Marty's starting to figure things out, because Marty the fool is a complete stoner. Incidentally, the coffee cup bong cost 5 grand to put together, and it was fully functional.
Yeah, how have they not sold those in
Because
stores?
they cost 5 grand to put together.
But
They brought in some experts to train him, on that sort of thing. But because of the pot he's smoking, all of the tricks that they're using and the drugs that they're pumping in and all of this aren't affecting him, so he can see through all of it. And at one point, Jenkins' character says, "Give him, whatever number of cc's of Thorazine." Had to laugh at that because, in addition to being an antipsychotic, it's also used for pervasive hiccups. I went to the emergency room. How many people can say they went to the emergency room for hiccups? And they gave me a prescription for Thorazine. So I got a kick out of that. Now, next they head fake you and make you think that Marty dies.
Right.
And when one of the characters dies, you see this blood trickling down into this big funnel for the old gods, the old ones, the ancient gods, whatever. And you see that again when Marty dies. Was it the zombie's blood?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, he did say he dismembered it with a trowel. And then
Right.
when that blood trickles down, there is a bit of an earthquake. A bit of a rumble, like they didn't like it. Which,
Oh, that makes sense now.
if you know it's not Marty's blood, I guess it had to be the zombies. I'm kind of shocked that he was able to dismember it with a trowel, considering his blood was practically THC. And then we have my favorite scene in the movie. For you, it was the merman. For me, it was when the Japanese schoolgirls managed to get rid of the ghost that's haunting them.
Oh,
They
yeah.
show this classroom with these 9-year-old, they specifically say 9-year-old,
Right.
Japanese schoolgirls, kind of all singing and chanting, and then this demon or ghost is defeated. And then Jenkins' character, Jenkins, I can't think of the character name, I'll just call him Jenkins, looks at the screen and just starts yelling, "Fuck you," over and over again at this screen full of adorable little Japanese schoolgirls.
I mean, were they like setting this thing on fire? And they're just dancing around singing. It was pretty damn funny.
And I gotta say, Kurt, the athletes, his death was kind of spectacular.
His death, they could have gone two different ways. If they didn't foreshadow the force field, it may have been shocking or horrific even. But the fact that you knew that was there and he was about to take the meatloaf bat out of hell jump on the motorcycle and you knew that thing was there, it made it funny as fuck.
The only death in the first 55 minutes is an eagle that accidentally flies into a force field. Just to kind of,
Think of that.
give you a head, a little nod to let you know what you're in for, or at least make you wonder what it is.
Well, because the first thing, nobody would make a tunnel just going to the middle of nowhere like that. I mean, I
So.
always think that when I'm driving through like east or western Pennsylvania and you have all of these giant ass tunnels going through the mountains, you're like, holy shit, this must have been a ball buster to make.
Yeah. So you already know about the force field at that point, and
Right.
they're trying to get away, driving back through the tunnel, and part of it collapsed because they triggered the collapse. They talked about that a minute before then. And from the beginning, there's this BMX bike on the back of their RV for no apparent reason.
Right.
So he decides he's going to jump the ravine with this BMX bike.
It's like a crazy jump too. It's a huge ravine to
It's
jump.
about a 50-foot jump.
But of course, as he's planning it, there's no way he can fucking make it because they've already told you there's a force field
Well,
there.
they've already told you it's a force field, and it's a 50-foot jump with no ramp. So obviously, try that in reality. Without the force field, you're just going to go straight down.
Right.
So
Most movies would be like, oh, we'll make it.
So he manages to get some elevation, a jump somehow without a ramp. Makes it to the other side of the ravine, smack into the force field, and lights it up and just keeps lighting it up as he goes down. Because it glows and it shows
Of
itself when
course.
something hits it, because it's a force field, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And so he just lights it up as he goes down. It's the most spectacular death in a horror film I've ever seen. And really, it's hilarious if you. I think it's funny either way, because I knew it was coming and it was still funny.
Oh, of course you know it's coming. That's the
Well,
point. That's why it's
I mean,
funny.
you know it's coming because you know the four. You suspect it's coming if you haven't. If it's your first time, if it's your second time, you know it's coming and it's still funny then. I don't remember how I reacted the first time because it was a few years ago. I probably laughed.
Oh yeah, because it's totally funny. You know he's like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and it's gonna, all right, you sure? All right, go away, man. You're right. It's like, of course, he's not gonna make it.
And I mean, he's the frat boy, so you kind of like to see him die. Next up, we have Holden, the scholar. They get back, him and Dana get back in the RV after Kurt dies. They're gonna, try to find some way out of there, and he suddenly ends up with a blade through his throat. Kind of a boring death, but I guess
Yeah.
it's efficient. Dana runs. Suddenly, Marty comes back.
I'd say the scholar was the most unnecessary character
Well, yeah, he
out of the
was just
five.
fitting the archetype.
Because the virgin was a scholar too.
Yeah, they just needed to check the box, really.
Yeah.
He was a very bland character and had a very bland death, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So Marty reappears, saves Dana, and they descend into the complex. And it is one of the best creature galleries you will ever see.
It's a Disney ride, pretty
Yeah.
much. It's an elevator that goes, up and down and side to side. And that, yeah, that's the first thing, to go back and kind of freeze and see what you can pick out. Like, I'm not sure what the hell that big yellow scorpion thing was exactly.
Yeah, there was a giant bug in there of some sort, not just a
Oh,
spider,
there were
but another
several
kind of bug.
giant bugs. I think there may have been an alien, like, from the Aliens series in there, but I'm not entirely sure.
But my favorite, the unicorn. You
Yeah,
see
that was
a
pretty
guard
damn good.
get gored, not just gored, run through with a unicorn. They had a unicorn in a monster gallery.
The clown.
Yeah, well, that's, of course they have to
It.
nod to Pennywise.
Yeah.
And they've also got some really interesting sound effects. Because I was actually watching it. Or I was listening to that more than watching it because trying to avoid the spider. The sound effects,
Spider was 2 seconds,
yeah,
man.
I still morbidly phobic. I was kind of in and out of on that whole section, but I was listening to the whole thing. Really fascinating sound effects. I think I heard the TARDIS at one point, or at least, some they I think they used that sound effect. And there was another like ship sound effect from something science fiction that I can't think of, can't remember. Probably Star Wars.
It is an amazing hodgepodge of sounds and creatures and effects.
And then Marty and Dana, of course, make their way through. All of the monsters get released because she finds the control panel to release them,
Yeah.
to get the guards off their back.
She literally opens Pandora's
Yeah,
box.
exactly. They make their way down into the belly of the beast, and they find a very interesting cameo.
Well, of course, yeah. We won't ruin who that is, though.
Okay. And this cameo is basically Basil exposition.
Well, yeah, she lays out the what they've done and what they can do and what it means if they don't.
Yeah. Basically, she has to kill Marty to keep the old gods asleep. And she ultimately decides not to do it. Which is a very interesting way to go with it, I thought.
Definitely. It's kind of, I think the whole point to the movie, was that do you keep a system alive just
Yeah.
because it's what's been done, even though if it's at the expense of the
The
younger
entire
generation?
planet.
Yeah. That can be applied to so many different things.
Yeah, I get the point. As I have in my notes, I think she should have killed him, but I'm glad that she didn't because it fosters debate.
Yeah.
I put me in that situation, he's dead. Because we're talking about, the good of the many. But, if she chooses not to, she decides she's going to kill the entire human race.
Well, maybe not necessarily kill, but, well, not everybody.
Dazzle Exposition said the entire human race will die a slow, painful death unless Marty gets killed. I mean, if Dazzle Exposition is to be believed.
Right. I think it just more started a war. Judging how the military did against the creatures there.
Well, the last shot is of a giant hand coming
Coming
out
out,
of the
yeah.
ground and smashing the cabin. And it is a hand the size of the cabin, if not larger. So this is what they're up against. I don't think the military could can handle it. And it's assumed that there are multiple because they say the ancient ones. So there are multiple ancient ones who are all, enormous.
I think that was my only disappointment with the movie was that that they didn't kill enough of the monsters, you know? Like the death, it was more of a one-sided rampage. I would have liked to have seen more of just a complete battle.
You wanted to see an actual war go down.
Yes.
The movie was already just shy of 2 hours. That would have added a half hour to it.
You think so? I mean, it just would
To
have
really
added
do
a
it justice.
I think you could have just had a few more scenes of them kicking some a monster ass here and
Okay,
there.
yeah, all right.
You know, maybe like somebody dismembering, Pennywise or something. You know?
Incidentally, this is one of two movies starring Chris Hemsworth that were released before he became famous. Or that were made before he became famous and released afterward, I mean. This and Red Dawn. It was originally slated for release in 2010, but then was put on hold for a number of reasons, mostly financial difficulties with the studio. It wasn't released till 2012. By that point, he'd already become well known.
Thor.
Well, actually, it was just before that, I think. No, it was Thor, the original Thor movie, because it came out the same year as Avengers. Yeah. So he was known as Thor by the time this and Red Dawn came out. Also, much of Drew Goddard's inspiration from the movie came from his upbringing in Los Alamos, which is, loaded with, scientists and the military-industrial complex and all of that.
I think it was interesting what he was saying about they're so blasé, but they're working on devices that can destroy the entire planet. Nuclear warheads.
Right. It's the seat of a lot of the nuclear industry, and there a lot of testing that's done there, so yeah. All right, I'm done with minutes.
I am as well.
Obviously no sequel, and I don't think this is getting a remake for a while.
I don't understand why he'd be so against doing a sequel to this of us going up against the ancient ones.
Oh, I never thought about that. See, to my mind, it's a slaughter. We have no chance, but that could be an interesting movie.
Yeah, of course it would. That's what,
The effects would be impressive.
fantastic special effects, a great underdog story. I mean, what more could you ask for? But yeah, when he was asked that, he was like, "Did you see the end?"
Of course, they'd have to bring Marty back, and he would be the one who came up with the master stroke that ended the, that won it for our side.
Yeah.
All right, on to brains.
On the brains.
I really like the movie. It's just that beginning. It takes so long to set up and get to the action. I'm going for.
This was a necessary setup, though, I think. I can't imagine this movie without it, honestly. I mean, they need to establish each of the characters. They need to get them into the cabin and to dis and of course the office workers that
Well,
are
the office
behind it.
workers are the important part because the kids are
Right.
archetypes that you could set up in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think they spend more time on the office
And
workers
like
than
you
the
see, the
kids
office
anyway.
workers, that's the real story, and that's the fun part.
The kids, yeah, they introduce each one. They give a very brief backstory. They give Marty's view of the world, which is actually
That's very
quite
important.
relevant
Yeah.
when you put in the whole thing together, and then them getting to the getting to the cabin to make the sacrifice, and then from there on it's But I can't imagine that without the setup. I can't imagine them just arriving
Yeah,
in the cabin.
fair enough.
So this is an easy five.
All right.
I mean, come on. Anytime someone does the Blazing Saddles chaos scene with something different like this, you gotta love it. I'd watch this again now.
All right, what have we learned?
Do not read the Latin, but if you do, it's someone's gonna kick your ass anyway.
And I learned that the cleanup on Merman is a nightmare. All right, so until next time, when we'll be reviewing Polyester, as requested by Danny. I don't know if that's Danny Meeks or another Danny. Let us know if it is Danny Meeks.
Sure.
I did find it on Amazon, so we will be able to get copies. Because you were a bit concerned about that.
Yeah, I forgot if I had it. It's so long ago that I've been working
Amazon
this out.
Instant has it, so either way, we're
Okay.
good.
All right.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Tell some people about us. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through Legend. I think it's two or three after the Request series. Oh, by the way, this was requested by Matt Goranson. Forgot to mention that at the top of the show.
Oh, cool.
Cabin in the Woods was. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, leave it on the request form. And, of course, the recommendations list. I was pretty sure this was going to make the rec list, especially by the time it got to the ending.
It's our first one since Mother's Milk, I think.
Actually, probably only our second or third this year.
Yeah, we haven't had many we've felt this strongly about.
You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged,
You can hiccup yourself.
or get run through by a unicorn, 414-368-9861. Always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
That's what I have to say.
Titles. I have a bunch of titles. All but
I've
two
got a
of
lot of titles.
these I came up with before I even watched the movie. I mean, I saw it back in 2012, but before I watched it for this. Sacrifice Incorporated. Archetypical. New Tech for Old Gods. Let Sleeping Gods Lie. Monster Mashup, which I like. And the two I came up with while watching the movie. Harbinger Online 2. Or Husband Bulge.
I have a Husband Bulge as well. I also have the Lorem Ipsum Chronicles, Leprechauns or GTFO, because I think it was one monster I didn't see in the whole thing. Husband Bulge, Joseph Campbell's Evil Dead, Troma's Blazing Saddles, or I think my favorite, Aw, come on.